Welcome to our service of the Word this morning. Lovely to see you all, and welcome especially if you've made it for the first time back since we reopened, which I know a couple of you have. So great to see you. Thanks for complying with all of the regulations. It's going to be a fairly straightforward service. Try and keep 2 metres away from each other if possible. And when we leave, we'll be leaving through the door over to the right, so a different door to which you came in. We have put some music in this week, as you will have heard. Due to a few technical issues, it's not the music as advertised on the service sheet, but we have got another song for you to listen to later. We're not allowed to sing yet, but we can listen to music. Hopefully we'll get those technical difficulties resolved by next week. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. As we come together, we have a chance to say sorry to God for ways in which we have this week not lived up to our calling as His people. In a moment of silence, let's just reflect on what we need to say sorry for. You raise the dead to life in the Spirit. Lord, have mercy. You bring pardon and peace to the broken in heart. Christ, have mercy. You make one by your Spirit the torn and divided. Lord, have mercy. The Apostle John writes these words. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Our Bible reading is taken from Acts chapter 15, verses 36 to 41. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John and also called Mark with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement, they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and pray you'd help us to understand it this morning, to learn from it in such a way that we might live lives that will glorify you for your name's sake. Amen. This is a new series that we're starting, looking at Paul's second missionary journey. A little while ago we looked at Paul's first missionary journey, and then we looked at the council at Jerusalem, what that meant. So we're carrying on our sort of wander through the book of Acts, which is a long, very rich book of the Old Testament, telling the story of the first days of the church. So there's a lot to teach us about what church is about and how we do mission. And I'm always drawn to I love travelling, and I love reading about travelling as well. I love travel literature and stories of people on journeys. And the Bible is full of these stories of journeys. We looked at one recently, didn't we? The journey of people of God from the Red Sea up to Mount Sinai. So this is the beginning of another journey which will take Paul to places he's never been before. And I get frustrated because the Bible doesn't always go in much detail on its journeys, and I'd love to read more about the things that they saw and the modes of transport they used, those kinds of things. That's because I'm just a bit of a travel nerd, really. But anyway, I don't know if you can think, when you've been on a journey or about to leave on a holiday or some kind of long journey, that actually that setting off, that getting ready, can be quite stressful, can't it? So maybe you can't find the passports, or maybe the children refusing to have their travel sickness pills, or the suitcase is X number of kilos overweight for the baggage allowance. All these kinds of things tend to happen, don't they? And probably at some point somebody will probably say, right, well, I'm not going. Does that happen to you, or is that just my family? This journey doesn't get off to a good start, does it? Because we have this disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Does this bode well? They're not really getting off on the right footing, are they? Is this actually going to be a bit of a failure? A bit of a journey that goes wrong? It might seem strange to have a reading which is just pretty much bad news about a disagreement, a sharp disagreement, which leads to two men who have been great friends and worked together in ministry a great deal, Barnabas and Paul, parting company. Remember, it was Barnabas who actually introduced Paul to the church and convinced the church that he was actually a changed man. And he worked incredibly hard to get the church to understand that Paul really had met Jesus. That's quite something, isn't it, for these two fellow workers to fall out in such a way. And they're falling out over John Mark, whether he should accompany them on the journey or not. But actually, I think this story is good news. And it's good news for a few reasons. The first bit of good news is that it's actually there at all. And one of the things I love about the Bible is it is very honest about how, as human beings, we fall out with each other and how things don't always go well. When Luke, because it is Luke who wrote the book of Acts, you know, he has to choose his material, doesn't he? He obviously hasn't written down everything that happened in the early church in the first 30 years or so of its story, because that would be an immense book, wouldn't it? He's had to select material. So he could very easily have left this bit out. And he could have just said, Paul left for Syria and Cilicia with Silas. He could not mention the disagreement at all. And wouldn't that have been better, really, if he wanted people to get a good view of the church, just to say, well, we're not going to make a big thing of this. But he doesn't. Because he wants to be honest. And it's a real encouragement that Luke's honesty tells us about this, because it reminds us that in churches we are going to have disagreements. Just as we have disagreements in families, just as we have disagreements in our workplaces, in all kinds of ways, because we're human and we don't always see eye to eye. Our pride can get in the way, all kinds of things. And while we might like to think that because churches are full of Christians, we're going to do things differently and it will all be wonderful and sweet, that often isn't the case. I'm sure those of you who have been involved in churches for a while can remember disagreements that you've been involved in. And if you haven't, then you'll probably soon see one. The Bible is honest about that. It doesn't sweep it under the carpet. There was a disagreement. Second reason why it's good news is that it doesn't stop the good news of Jesus being proclaimed. Paul still goes with Silas and goes through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. That was important. These were the churches that he founded on his first missionary journey, some of them. And it was really important that in this early stage of the church, that these new churches, which were probably didn't have many people in them, should be strengthened and helped and developed. But Barnabas doesn't throw his toys out of the pram, does he? He didn't say, oh, that's it, I'm staying at home. He takes John Mark and they go to Cyprus. And we presume they weren't going for the beaches. We presume that they went there to tell people about Jesus. So actually, the gospel still goes out despite this disagreement. And actually, because of the disagreement, it goes to two different places. So God uses that situation, doesn't he? He uses that division to actually send the good news out. The third thing is that reason why it's good news is that the church see that it's good news. We're told they commend the brothers to the grace of the Lord. I think that actually means not just Paul and Silas, but also Barnabas and Mark. They recognise that these people need their prayers and their support, and they're behind them. They're not going off on some kind of solo run. They're going with the authority and the backing of the church, and that's really important. There's a principle for mission, that anything we do as church, you know, actually is part of us, and we approve of it, and we send it out. Generally, when people try and set up on their own in Christian ministry, without the kind of the backing of a church, they go off the rails very quickly. And the fourth reason why this is good news is that it isn't the end of the story. We don't know much about John Mark. We don't even know why he left Paul in the first place. So it does actually say in his first missionary journey that at a certain point John left them. And here, you know, Paul presumes that he obviously feels very let down by that. There was a lot of work to do and lots of, you know, and he needed his companions to help him. And John Mark left. We don't know why. Maybe he got homesick. Maybe he was finding it all a bit too much. Maybe he was struggling with his own faith or aspects of his own faith. We're not actually told why. But clearly Barnabas sees potential in him. Remember, Barnabas wasn't his real name. His real name was Joseph. And Barnabas was his nickname. It means son of encouragement. I just think that's a great nickname to have, isn't it? But actually Barnabas was recognised as somebody who was an encourager, who got alongside people, who helped them. He was a great mentor. He was somebody who clearly sees the potential in people and wants to develop them. He did that with Paul. And he's not going to give up on John Mark. And so he goes with him to Cyprus. And it may be that under Barnabas's gentle encouragement, John Mark grows in faith and grows in confidence. Because later on in the New Testament, when Paul is in Colossae and he writes to the Colossians from Rome, guess who he says is with him? John Mark. So clearly, in between this disagreement and that point, Paul and John Mark have been reconciled. And it's probable that because Barnabas worked with him and helped him, he was better able to help Paul in his missionary work. And I think that's where I want to come into land, really, and bring us to understand here. Because we're going to be, as we look at Paul's missionary journey, we'll see second journey, we'll see all kinds of amazing things happening. But I think the big thing we learn from this is that God does not give up on anybody. You see, John Mark was probably feeling pretty much the worst of this, wasn't he? We're not told what he said or what he felt, but he would have known what the disagreement was about him. He would have known that Paul was disappointed in him, didn't trust him anymore. He would have known, and he would have probably felt awful about that. It would have been very easy for him to say, okay, well, maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe church isn't for me. Maybe they're not interested in me. Thanks to Barnabas, that isn't the case. And sometimes I think we can feel, if we get things wrong, if we let people down, if we feel we've let God down, if we feel we've gone off the rails a bit, it's very easy for us to say, oh dear, okay, well, I've blown it. This isn't for me. I don't fit in church. I'm not a good enough person. I can't do the things that God's calling me to do. But actually, God is not giving up on you. If that's how you're feeling at the moment, or if you know somebody who's feeling like that, maybe that's the reason why they're not here. Maybe you can give them a call. God never gives up on anybody. And you can find time and time again examples of Christians, and you've probably got examples of in your own lives where things have gone wrong and you haven't exactly excelled yourself for whatever reason, but actually God picks us up, dusts us down by his Holy Spirit, refills us and sends us out again. And of course, at the heart of that, of course, is what Jesus has done for us. You see, Jesus didn't go to the cross and die for our sins so that we'd be forgiven until we went wrong. Jesus died on the cross because God knows that we will get it wrong time and time again. If we could have stopped getting it wrong, then Jesus wouldn't have needed to die. But he dies for our sins, taking our place, so that we can be reconciled to God. And he dies for the sins that we have committed in the past, the sins that we're committing right now, and the sins that we're going to commit in the future. Yes, by God's Holy Spirit, we are each day becoming more and more like Jesus. But it's only when we're with him in heaven that we will be free from sin, that we'll be free from failure, that we'll stop getting it wrong. And so that's that grace of God that the brothers in Antioch commend Paul, Silas, Barnabas and John Mark to. It's that grace of God which brings us back to him time and time again, however much we fail. And I think that's really good news. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace that brings us back time and time again. Thank you for your heart of forgiveness and your heart of love. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll play a song now just to help us to reflect on what Jesus has done for us and to reflect on God's grace.
Savior say, my strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, and find in me Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power in Thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand, Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all, all to Him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, washed in white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed me white as
Let's pray. Firstly, the special prayer for today, the collect for the sixth Sunday after Trinity. Creator God, You made us all in Your image. May we discern You in all that we see and serve You in all that we do, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Loving Father, we pray for Your church. And we pray that You'd help us to handle disagreement well when it happens. And to remember that the priority is to get the good news out there, even if we have different ways of doing it and different emphases. We thank You for the example of Paul, Silas, Barnabas and John Mark, going out from the places they were comfortable to places that they didn't know, at a time when travel was very dangerous, because of their passion to tell people about Jesus. Pray You'd help us to do the same, to go into beyond our comfort zone, tell people about Jesus. With this in mind, we pray for Cribs, thanking You for all of the work that they've done in our schools over the years. And we pray for Mark and the team as they prepare to resume face-to-face work in schools in September, but with a huge amount of work to do to try and work out how to do that safely and to talk to schools about how that's going to work. So just pray, Father, for all of those preparations, that You bless them, and that young people of our borough will again be hearing about Jesus through Cribs in September. We pray for Your world, Lord. Pray where there is indeed sharp disagreement about many things. And we pray for unity in our nation, that despite the things that we disagree about, that we won't retreat into our own tribes, but that we will listen to each other and together seek a prosperity of our nation. Pray for our government and all the difficult decisions they've got to make, especially at this time of the persisting pandemic. We pray for our local community, Lord, and all who are facing issues. Pray for any we know who are sick, who are lonely and isolated, who are struggling with their mental health. And as this lockdown situation continues, we pray that you'd help us to be good neighbours to each other, to be alert to people who are really struggling, and to do what we can to help. We thank you, Father, that you never give up on us. You didn't give up on John Mark, and you did that largely through Barnabas. We pray that, like Barnabas, we might be encouragers. We might see the good in people. We might see their potential. That we might find the right words to encourage and to cheer, knowing that sometimes those words can be life-changing. We thank you for those who've been a Barnabas to us, who've loved us and helped us and helped us to grow in our faith. And as we commend ourselves to you and all that we love, we pray that wherever we go this week, we will take the good news of Jesus with us. For his name's sake. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. One thing I should have mentioned at the beginning of the service, and I apologise for this, is that we do have some sad news, which some of you may know already, which is that Brian Morris, who was a member of this church for many years, has died after a long illness. Brian hasn't been able to come to church for quite a few years because he's been living in a nursing home, and he was quite ill. So it's, we can rejoice that he's now at peace with God, and we do pray, obviously, for his family and friends. I hope I'll get to find out about funeral arrangements, but sadly Brian's family haven't really kept up any contact with us, but if we do get to hear of any funeral arrangements, obviously I'll let you know. Let's stand and declare our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let's share these words together, this closing prayer, as we bring our service to an end. Draw your church together, O God, into one great company of disciples, together following our Lord Jesus Christ into every walk of life, together serving him in his mission to the world, and together witnessing to his love on every continent and island. Amen.